Welcome to the Gastric Health Show, where we help you achieve the happiest and healthiest version of yourself by motivating you to eat, move, sleep, and think better. Welcome to the Gastric Health Show. My name is Dawn Boxall, and I am super excited to share this series or several part series on weight loss resistance. And this first one is really more of a foundation that we're laying and giving you that basic understanding and showing you so many different areas that impact weight loss. Some that are super obvious, some that are just not obvious or thought of currently. So hopefully we'll give you some new insight, give you something to think about and apply in your life so that you can see results with weight loss and not feel stuck. So part one of the lock and key to weight loss resistance. And like I said, this is going to be the foundation. So we're not getting necessarily into the lock and key yet, but that is to come in the future podcasts. So I get asked this all the time. Why would someone not lose weight after weight loss surgery? Seems so perplexing to so many people and frustrating because it is scary to change your anatomy permanently with weight loss surgery, with the caveat that, hey, there's no guarantee that you will lose weight. So although scary, many of you have done fabulous and you get awesome results, which is why weight loss surgery is still considered the best option for weight loss to date. Although there are some very smart scientists working very diligently to find other options that you don't have to have surgery to get the same results, to date there is nothing available. So what do you do? So maybe you've already had weight loss surgery or you're just thinking about it. But regardless, that's the path you've chosen. And here you are, you're working hard, you're doing everything you know you can do to maximize and optimize your weight loss. But yet you find yourself kind of stuck. You find that, hey, my the pounds are not dropping and I do feel like I am doing everything I can do. And of course, as a dietitian, I will tell you that I wish we didn't focus on weight so much and we really focused on just the improvement in the other areas of our life, more focused on the things you can do now that are easier and you are, you know, just more enjoying life because you are capable of doing those things. But no matter how many times I say that, it always comes back to the scale and the inches and what size people fits in. So I will tell you, I just have embraced it and I am just hopefully helping you see all the different angles that you can really explore in determining if you're stuck, if you are in a place where you feel you are weight loss resistant, the pounds are not moving, the inches are not moving, yet you really feel like I'm doing all that I can do, then listen in. This is going to be a several part series that's going to go into all the different angles of this. So this first one is the foundation. So hopefully you'll get a good understanding just from this first one. So why would someone not lose weight after weight loss surgery? Very obvious reasons, of course, is poor diet choices. Thinking that I'm just going to keep eating the same foods that I've always eaten, just eat a smaller amount. We're reducing the size of your belly to the size of a golf ball. It goes from a football to a golf ball. And hey, shouldn't matter what I eat, I'm going to still lose weight. There is truth to some of that, but it doesn't always work that way. So we do find that people who have that mentality or those thoughts, that sometimes they don't lose all the weight, and sometimes they gain weight very easily. So that one's obvious. Eating too much food. So even though you have permanently altered your anatomy with weight loss surgery, some patients feel like they can still eat more food than what they should. Now, I find that this is very interesting because in the end, it's really kind of relative because they feel very full and feel very stuffed. So they feel like, hey, I'm eating way too much food. And most patients have this understanding that their pouch is supposed to stay the size of a golf ball. And technically it is not. Like I said, we start with a football size belly. You go to a golf ball size belly after surgery, and maybe a little bit bigger with a sleeve. And then as time evolves, you should be about the size of an orange when it's finished. So it's supposed to stretch out. You nutritionally cannot manage your body and maintain normal stores with a golf ball size belly for the rest of your life. You will have complications. You will have problems if that stays that small. So it's relative to some degree with eating too much food. Another obvious is just not eating enough food. So some patients find that their mind tells them less is more. So if I eat less, then I'm going to lose more. And that's just not how our body works. And then, of course, you know, how active or how sedentary we are. Those are pretty obvious reasons that play a role in your weight loss resistance. Some less obvious reasons that maybe are not explored is metabolic, which could be thyroid and adrenal, and you could even throw in here some of those appetite genes as well that are kind of influencing your metabolism as well. Stress, definitely an issue. Poor gut health. And if you followed a lot of my stuff and our website, we talk extensively about how important gut health is in relation to weight loss. Deficiencies with macro and micronutrients, so any vitamins or protein deficiencies or things like that is going to impact the bottom line and you being able to lose and your body working efficiently to lose weight. Sleep is another one. So our circadian rhythm plays a role in that. And if you are not sleeping well, you're going to have a difficult time losing weight. And then the last one is inflammation. That one is a really big one and a big player. And we'll dig deep into inflammation in one of our series or parts. We'll discuss inflammation pretty extensively and how that plays a role in that. But now let's talk about the not so obvious reasons why someone would not lose weight. Genetics. So I would say most weight loss surgery patients, most, not all, but I would say most patients that end up having weight loss surgery, there is a genetic component to it. And you do have some of those genes that make it easier for you to gain weight and make it easier for you to eat more food than you should or have that increased appetite. And that does play an impact. But I'm going to look very specifically at a few things in genetics, and that's nutrigenetics. So perfect for dietitians. I like to really focus on the food piece of it and how that influences our genes. So nutrigenetics is really just the interaction of a gene variant with the environment. So the environment would be like nutrients, could be like macronutrients and micronutrients, lifestyle choices and exposures, things that we've been exposed to that influence. Think of things like the plastics and all those, how all of those really influence estrogen. So that is another thing that really can influence how our body reacts. really, nutrigenetics is how an individual responds to his or her environment. So that's kind of the basics, how we respond to what we do, what we put in our body, on our body, and what we're living around. So that's nutrigenetics. An example is vitamin D levels. So vitamin D, we know that lower levels are associated with an increase in type 2 diabetes. So the lower vitamin D level that you have, you're going to be more susceptible to having type 2 diabetes. So the genes that impact this are VDR, CYP2R1, all these GC, DHCR7, all those are all going to impact your ability to have diabetes or not have diabetes. So how that works is the active vitamin D binds with the vitamin D receptor or the VDR, so that vitamin D receptor, and it interacts with other cell signaling pathways. And this will modulate the effects. So think of things like calcium absorption and inflammation. So vitamin D is going to play a role in your ability to absorb calcium and how your body responds to inflammatory assaults. So if you have, you know, you're exposed to some inflammation, maybe it's even over-exercising, and now that vitamin D is going to play a role in kind of helping modulate that. So nutrigenetics is really just how a person responds to his or her environment. Next is nutrigenomics. So we've got the genetic piece, and now we're going to the nutrigenomics. And this considers the impact of our diet, which our diet includes anything that's the bioactives, macro, and micronutrients. So those will impact it to external exposures on gene expression. So really, nutrigenomics is really how it informs the clinician or your healthcare professional on the best intervention by understanding how to use diet to activate or silence specific genes. So say you do have this VDR gene that makes it more difficult for you to absorb calcium. So you're going to have issues with osteoporosis and osteopenia, bone softening in your future if not addressed. Whereas this, we have the ability, nutrigenomics is to really look at what about in your diet can kind of go above or upstream to kind of turn on or turn off specific genes that will allow your body to uptake more of that vitamin D. An example is spices are super rich in bioactives with nutrigenomic activity, meaning a good example is an antioxidant capacity of allspice, cloves, and nutmeg are significantly enhanced at 212 degrees or boiling, but ginger is not. So when a dietitian or healthcare professional is utilizing nutrigenomics and you are needing more antioxidants to help turn off a gene that's maybe turned on, they can utilize these very specific foods in those scenarios. And guess what? You can kind of override that gene and allow your body to work more efficiently. So when someone is struggling with weight loss and they feel like they are weight loss resistant, then you might want to really look at, you know, what are those locks and keys, which I will get to in the next video, that can really unlock your ability to optimize or maximize your body's ability to lose weight. That's all we're doing. You may be surprised when you get into your genetics and find that, hey, guess what? I do have a lot of obesity genes that can work against me. But I also have some beneficial obesity genes that help balance that out. And it allows me to maintain my weight at a healthy level. And it really helps you take the focus off of the scale and really focus on to your behaviors and your life and really just trying to live a healthy life to maximize and optimize everything you're wanting to get out of it. So even though as a dietitian, I would love to just leave the scale out of it, this is a way that we can do that because we can focus off of the scale and focus more on very specific things about your life that can alter how you feel in your own skin. So I am excited to share this series with you, so stay tuned for another video very soon. And thanks for joining us. Bye-bye.